The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
It has been 75 years since Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in Major League Baseball. Tomorrow, here in New York City, the new Jackie Robinson Museum will open. The museum expands the foundation's mission by educating the public about Robinson's life and his legacy and the ideals that defined his life. Before that opening, tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN, is an Essie-featured special presentation, Jackie to Me. Athletes, entertainers, scholars, civil rights leaders, and Jackie's son, David, will all share what he meant to them personally and to society as a whole.
Yeah, I got so much trouble on my mind, I refuse to lose. That's coming at you spikes up. That epitomizes Jackie Robinson.
Well, he's got to suck it up every morning and get ready for this onslaught of racism.
Every black man in America now is counting on you to really nail it, Jackie.
Jackie gave us a lot of pride about being black.
And I say to you that whether you like it or not, and whether you think that we ought to participate, that there is not one Negro, not one that I know in this country, that hasn't made until the most underprivileged Negro in St. Augustine, Florida hasn't made.
Tonight, 7 Eastern here on ESPN, and again, the museum will open tomorrow. With that, we welcome you to hour number two of our show today. It's Get Up on ESPN. We're live at the Seaport. We are brought to you by Chase, and we are jam-packed with big news. Let's roll it, Cindy. We're time to get up with big stars making big statements. Will Devontae regret choosing his new quarterback over his old one? Meanwhile, speaking of stars, he's a man on a mission. Is it Super Bowl or bust for the Bucs? And Tampa Tom will answer all the NFL burning questions. And then, could KD be on the move and headed to the last place we were expecting? Woj has the very latest, and he's live as we begin hour number two of Get Up right now. In fact, let's go right to him, a Woj bomb dropping overnight that involves Kevin Durant and trade possibilities. Adrian Wojnarowski, take it away. What do we have?
Greedy, the Celtics have been engaged in talks with Brooklyn about a possible Kevin Durant deal. They join teams like Miami, Phoenix, Toronto, who've all had varying degrees of interest in Kevin Durant. But Boston, obviously a team that beat Brooklyn in the first round of the playoffs, swept them, and then went on to the NBA Finals where they lost to Golden State. They certainly have the assets to be involved in these Kevin Durant talks. I'm told Jaylen Brown at the center of those discussions. They could potentially offer 3 unprotected first-round picks, 2 pick swaps, and then a buildup of a deal beyond Brown. Now, there's no deal imminent with Brooklyn, and the Nets remain engaged on a number of fronts, but Boston's interest in Durant is real, and certainly from Brooklyn's perspective, they want a historic slash monumental haul and any Kevin Durant trade. Remember, he's got 4 years left on his contract.
Yeah, fascinating. Again, Jaylen Brown being in the middle of it, as I read through your story, it says in there that Jason Tatum is off the table, but that Brown could potentially be a player that winds up in the middle of this. And so much of it, you know, Woj, we operate sort of minute to minute here because it had been so quiet from Kevin Durant's side, because he talked so much, but on this has said so little. I think there had been some suspicion, and I will raise my hand, maybe I was one of those people, who wondered if maybe he was backing off of his trade desire. But in your story, you make it clear that he has given the Nets no indication that he has changed his mind.
That's right, Greeny. And certainly, listen, Brooklyn doesn't want to trade Kevin Durant. They want to bring him back. They want to pair him with Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons, and the rest of this net core. I think that arguably could compete with anybody in the league if healthy, if all moving in the same direction. But Kevin Durant has not backed off that trade request that he made back on June 30th. We're approaching 4 weeks on that request. But again, Brooklyn wants to get back the package they want to get back, which is significant in draft picks, pick swaps, in players. And I think right now teams, you know, around the league, you know, they continue to talk with Brooklyn, and Boston is among them. And there's no question, I think, especially because of the history between Boston and Brooklyn when it comes to trades. You look at the core of this Celtic team, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, you know, they were essentially acquired with draft picks that were brought in from Brooklyn in the Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce trade.
Absolutely. So maybe history repeats itself here. Would be fascinating. Woj, stay close, obviously, if there's any further developments here as this continues to work forward. Outstanding, as always, and we'll have all the insight from Mark Jackson. Our buddy Mark Jackson going to be in our studio a little later in this hour. You see, he'll be 25 minutes away. We'll talk about this. We'll talk about the Kyrie stuff, and he's here promoting the Point Gods documentary. We'll talk about all that and more. Mark Jackson in the building. Meanwhile, to the NFL we go, where rookies and veterans have reported to training camps in four different locations, and that number will increase every day. So far, Bills, Jags, Rams, and Raiders are in camp. Let's talk about the Raiders. Their big offseason acquisition is Devontae Adams. He raised a bunch of eyebrows with some comments he made about his old quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, and his new quarterback, Derek Carr. Listen.
Anytime you change quarterbacks from, you know, a Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, you go, you know, Stabler to Rich Gannon or whoever you go to, it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment.
All right, so the Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer is the part that everyone sort of seized on in there. And then he later went on to clarify it, saying, oh, why is Derek not a Hall of Famer? I meant I left one key word out of there. That's not exactly what I meant. I do think that Derek's career is Hall of Fame worthy, and why not? Does he have the MVPs right now? No. Has he won a Super Bowl? Not yet. What I meant to say was, even if you go to Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, it's an adjustment. I wasn't saying Hall of Famer Aaron to Hall of Famer Derek, so I'm not retracting my statement at all. That feels like a lot of explanation about something that really didn't require any explaining. But one way or another, it does bring us to our first burning question of the day. And we are adding to the football mix this morning. You see, Sacho is there. Tannenbaum and Graziano are here. Oh, and we got our quarterback, Tim Hasselbeck, is up with us early this morning as well and ready to answer this question. Tim, we've talked a lot on this show and others about how much Aaron Rodgers is going to miss Devontae Adams. I guess the question today is, how much do we think Devontae Adams is going to miss Aaron Rodgers?
Listen, I think he'll miss him because their chemistry was unique. I mean, I would argue, you know, maybe as good as anyone in recent memory between quarterback and receiver. You know, so many off kind of scheduled plays where they were able to connect. And I think that will be different. You know, I had to laugh. That's the first time I heard that sound. There were a few quarterbacks between Stabler and Gannon.
Yes.
And so I think Devontae's doing what a lot of wide receivers do, and that's pump up the guy that's throwing him the football. Look, Derek Carr has been a really good quarterback. If he put another 8 years together with his same exact stats, is he a Hall of Famer? No, not close. But this is a guy that in 2016 received MVP votes. Like, he is a really good player. I think the way he led through adversity last year was extremely impressive. And with the addition of Adams, and Josh McDaniels, quite frankly, I expect to see a better version of Derek Carr for the next 8 years.
Me too. I agree with multiple things you just said. Among them, in between Ken Stabler and Rich Gannon, Jim Plunkett won two Super Bowls as the quarterback of the Raiders, but that's neither here nor there. So how about it? Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer. How did you hear what he said there?
I think similar to what Tim said, he's just trying to pump up a friend. He has a Hall of Fame friend in Derek Carr, a Hall of Fame leader like we saw last year, but he's not even close to what Aaron Rodgers is. And when he gets double-teamed this year, he's simply not going to get the ball, which wasn't always the case in Green Bay. So I don't think he's going to have the production, and there's going to be a big adjustment for Devontae Adams this year.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But Graziano, it does feel to me as though he's not going to be Aaron Rodgers because no one is Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
But I believe Derek Carr has shown signs that he can be good enough, maybe more than good enough, to win big with the right pieces, with the right coach and more. I know I'm just basing that on a belief.
No.
And he's going to have to prove it in order for it to be proven.
The story of last year's Raiders is one of overcoming, right? Mm-hmm. Derek Carr and that group overcame a lot that went wrong around them last year, made it to the playoffs. And they were toe-to-toe with the Bengals in that game.
Absolutely.
Derek Carr threw an interception, and the Bengals won it. So, you know, can he get over that hump. His career has been a steady incline. I mean, like, he's better than he used to be, and I think he's accomplished more than I think maybe some people gave him credit for going into last year. Davante Adams is going to make him better. Like, it's that simple. Like, I think having him on your team is going to make you better as a quarterback, and we'll see if there. But he's got a long way to go before we're talking about, you know, can he win the big one?
Let me get Sacho in here quickly, Mike. Sacho, how about it? How about Davante Adams? Does he, in the short run, wind up missing his old buddy?
Yeah, he'll definitely miss Aaron Rodgers, but I think in the long run, he made the wise decision. Aaron Rodgers might be there for a year, maybe two, where Derek Carr, you know, he's got another 5, 10, who knows how many years left in his career. And so this year, he will miss Aaron Rodgers because of the connection that Hasselbeck just mentioned, right? That chemistry. But I think he can build that same chemistry or similar chemistry over the next several years with Derek Carr as his quarterback.
All right, we will wait and see. Again, I know I'm putting a lot of eggs in that basket out there in Vegas, but I liked a lot of things I saw last season, and I like the addition of Josh McDaniels almost as much as I like the acquisition of Davante Adams. In the meantime, speaking of another quarterback, I want you to hear the reaction from the Bills Mafia when Josh Allen was welcomed to training camp. Listen. The enthusiasm is off the charts, and anyone who's on social media knows hashtags Bills Mafia. That's a vocal group, and they're excited about their guy, and there's reason to be. So as we were kicking around stuff yesterday, I found myself wanting to ask the question, has Josh Allen now vaulted into a place where if you are starting an NFL franchise with one guy, he has to be someone you at least consider? Would he be the guy that you actually take? Tim Hasselbeck, is that a bridge too far?
No. I think I would take him. Look, it'd be very easy to say, listen, I'm going to take Patrick Mahomes instead. And I think that in many ways, you're not wrong saying that. I don't think you're wrong saying it would be Josh Allen. Josh Allen's command at the line of scrimmage, I don't think gets enough credit. You know, the stuff he does pre-snap that we've lauded great quarterbacks for doing in the past. He's remarkable at that. He maybe has the best arm in football. And as a runner, I'm not really sure that there's another equal at the position as a runner. And so, you know, when you look at everything that he has done and quite honestly will continue to do, I'm not sure that it's easy to find somebody that's actually better than him.
Yeah, I think Hasselbeck. I think that Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, Mike T, are the only reasonable answers here. Which one do you take?
Justin Herbert. Herbert has done more with less in his first 2 years. Below average offensive line, and he's only going to get better and better now that they have Rashawn Slater from Northwestern.
Yes.
Zion Johnson. He is a superstar to me that has absolutely no ceiling. And while I like Josh Allen a lot, my only concern is he has been hit 751 times since 2018, and I'm not sure that's sustainable. Patrick Mahomes is there as well. I just like Herbert's ceiling slightly more than Mahomes.
What do you think of that?
I thought I was a big Justin Herbert fan until I met Mike Tannenbaum.
Me too.
I really think he's great, and I think he's going to be great.
I don't love anything like he loves Justin Herbert.
Right, get you somebody that feels the way that Mike feels about Justin Herbert.
Right.
I think that's good advice for all of our viewers. Look, he hasn't done it yet, right? I mean, like, well, we've seen the performance. We haven't seen the accomplishment. I would go with Patrick Mahomes. He's still 26. Right? And we've seen that he can win the Super Bowl. We've seen that he can perform at this level and deliver team success as well. We haven't seen it with Justin Herbert. I'm not saying he won't. I'm not saying he can't. Haven't seen it. So I think, you know, these are all good answers. My answer is Mahomes, and I think it's kind of easy.
I considered Tom Brady for this, and I realized he probably only has 7 or 8 more good years left.
So you wouldn't.
I actually think I'm going to go with Allen, and it was as close as could possibly be. I love Justin Herbert too, but you need to see it for him first. I think I would go with Allen by an eyelash over Mahomes. But what I do think is important to point out is that both of them, and Tim, I'm going to give you the final word on this, are extraordinary organizational success stories. Neither one of these guys were drafted with guarantees of being what they are. They both had extraordinary raw ability, and through outstanding coaching and development in every single way, they've now emerged as the two top guys in the sport, Tim. And I think that is a lesson for every NFL franchise.
Yeah, Greeny, I would agree with that. First, I would say Mike T likes ice cream more than he likes Justin Herbert. I just want to get that out of the way.
I don't know,
man. I would also say this. I think when you look at guys in ability as passers, their size, their speed, I mean, you know, and some of this had to be projected. You're right. For Josh Allen, you know, coming out of Wyoming. Even for Justin Herbert coming out of Oregon. And then you watch him, you know, have a long run in the Rose Bowl and you think, you know, there are tools there. And I think when you look at physical ability matched with, you know, what you can see from what they've done on the field and kind of where the arrow is pointing, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Justin Herbert, I do believe are in a class of their own.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would have gotten it wrong, particularly with Josh Allen. A lot of people would have put a lot up too much on his plate too quickly. I think they brought him along brilliantly. That is an organizational success story from the top of the organization down. As we continue, I mentioned Brady just a moment ago. He spent 40 days retired this offseason. Then he returned. Would anything short of another trip to the Super Bowl be considered a disappointment for him? And then back to Devontae Adams. He's gone. The offensive coordinator left for Denver. Now one of the best blockers is hurting as well. How much is too much for Aaron Rodgers to overcome? We'll answer all your questions as we get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back, and Tim Hasselbeck, we need some QB quick reads. Let's start with Russell Wilson as he begins his first camp in Denver.
You agree, so much talk about how good the AFC West is. If you look at the quarterbacks, as we just finished talking about a couple of them in that division, I think you could easily put Russell Wilson, if you were ranking them, at the bottom of that list, which is remarkable when you think about what he's accomplished, what he has left in the tank. And that's why this division, I think, is going to be determined so much by everyone else other than the quarterbacks on these teams, because we know we're going to end up getting really good quarterback play out of all four quarterbacks in that division.
Now, there may never have been a division quite like that. Let's go to Mac Jones. He and Belichick, no more Josh McDaniels. What do you think?
I think this is a really interesting story that I don't know is getting the attention that it maybe should. I think we're maybe giving the New England Patriots a pass because of the history of success there. But Josh McDaniels, who has been an excellent play caller in the National Football League, is gone. You have a second-year quarterback, and now you've replaced Josh McDaniels with guys that have never called plays at this level. And so I think there are legitimate question marks about how that's going to go for a second-year quarterback.
Absolutely. I want to put a pin in that and come back and talk about it more. But let's go to the Patriots' former quarterback. What do we expect from Brady in his return?
Well, look, I just heard you say you think he might play another 7 years, and that might actually happen. I know it's a joke, but it also could happen. Look, I don't think there's going to be a drop-off whatsoever for Tom Brady. I think he's going to have an outstanding year. My concern for him would be the Chris Godwin injury and Gronk. Like, no Gronk, I think, could end up being an issue late in the season. And I think Chris Godwin is the second most important offensive player. Coming off of the ACL injury, when is he really back to being the Chris Godwin prior to that injury? That would be my biggest concern for Brady this season.
So what you see on your screen there, it says that our analytics, that's what FPI is, have the Bucs the fourth likeliest team to win the NFC. We showed you earlier, Caesars in Vegas has them as the favorite to win the NFC. Sacha, what do you think? I mean, if it's Super Bowl or bust in Tampa, when you have a 45-year-old Hall of Fame quarterback, pretty much anything else is. How do you like it? Go ahead, Sacha.
Well, for me, it's not Super Bowl or bust. Tom Brady came to Tampa Bay and won a Super Bowl in his first year. So we accomplished the goal with Bruce Arians, with all those players. We're talking about Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, all these guys. Leonard Fournette, he won already. And so for me, you have a guy who has 7 rings, who's accomplished everything he's wanted to accomplish. You have a new head coach. You have no Rob Gronkowski. For me, I think go to the divisional round, maybe, you know, finish, get a couple wins in the playoffs. That will be a successful season. Now, of course, it's Tom Brady. Of course, Super Bowl is the goal. But in all reality, Tom Brady's good. He's fine.
Yeah, I hear that. But nothing could change that piece of it. Tim, would you see anything short of a Super Bowl for this team as a failure?
I think, like, off the top, yes, I would, because you have a 45-year-old quarterback who's accomplished, you know, as much as anyone who's ever played the game. And so he's not coming back to pad stats. Like, the idea in Tampa is to win the Super Bowl, and the expectations in Tampa are to win a Super Bowl. So if you don't achieve something that you're expecting to do, then that ends up being a disappointment. Now, and I think the only thing that I would say, and to kind of, I guess, agree with Sam on this, is that, like, the ball is shaped funny. You know, there's good fortune when you look back at the seasons that Brady has won Super Bowls. And so, look, I think that when they lost Chris Godwin last year, like, that changed it. And so, like, is their season a disappointment because Chris Godwin gets hurt and now that changes whether or not they're a Super Bowl, you know, winning team? Look, I think some of those things that are out of your control can make you feel like it's not a failure, if you will. But, yeah, look, the expectations are to win a Super Bowl.
I hear that. But he just said it, for the most part, better than I said it before, which is you don't have a 45-year-old quarterback in Tom Brady to come back here to try and throw 50 touchdowns. He's coming back to win another championship.
Right, but I think Tim used a very important word there when he said it would be a disappointment. There's a difference between disappointment and failure, right? I mean, like, everybody wants to win the Super Bowl, but so are there going to be 31 failures this year? Like, I just think that's too strong a word to use. I agree with Sacho that the Buccaneers can find positives in a season where they play very well, make a playoff run, but don't quite win the Super Bowl. Todd Bowles, his second time out as a head coach, I think it's an important year for him to show what he learned the first time and that he can have a successful career in that role, which a lot of people think that he can. That's one example of something that could come out of this year for the Bucs, even if they don't win the Super Bowl. And if that does, then I don't think you could call it a failure.
Tannenbaum.
Agree. The X factor here is Gronk's coming back. Come November 1st, he will be back. There is no way when Tom Brady calls up and say, hey, we need 20 plays a game, third down, red zone, here's the package, Buccaneers make it worth his while, that he's going to say no to Tom Brady. His girlfriend said that. His agent said that. No veteran wants to go to training camp. So we saw last week, we talked about how productive Tom Brady's been in the red zone with Gronk as a Buccaneer. They are unstoppable. And when he's back with a better defense than people realize, Todd Bowles, they'll be back in the Super Bowl.
With Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski together in Tampa, when Gronk is on the field, Brady is 48 touchdowns and 0 picks in the red zone. Those are the numbers, and in that case, they do not lie. We'll continue in a moment. Back to basketball. Did you see the huge news last night? Woj dropping a bomb on us last night about the Celtics hopping into the Kevin Durant conversation. It may very well be Kevin Durant headed to Boston now. We'll get the very latest, again, Woj, with that story last night. And we will ask the great Mark Jackson, who will be with us in our studio. He's on his way here. We'll do that in just a moment. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up and back to the NBA, where there has been plenty of chatter around star players this offseason. First off, after dealing Rudy Gobert to the Timberwolves, Utah is now listening to offers for Donovan Mitchell, who's under contract for 4 years but does have a player option after that. In Brooklyn, questions remain around Kyrie Irving's future. Earlier this summer, Woj reporting the Lakers were the only team known to be pursuing him, and his current teammate Kevin Durant also currently in Brooklyn. But we get news last night, Woj dropping the bomb, and he was with us at the top of the hour here, saying that the Boston Celtics are now a team that has entered the conversations about Kevin Durant. So we're talking about Toronto, Phoenix, Miami, and Boston as potential destinations for Kevin Durant. It should be pointed out nothing is imminent. But here's what we definitely have imminent. The great Mark Jackson is in our studio. One of the true NYC point gods. He is here because of a Showtime documentary that, by the way, Kevin Durant is one of the producers on, Absolutely. Which is called NYC Point Gods. And this man from Bishop Lachlan and St. John's, the great Mark Jackson. So good to see you, Mark. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
We'll talk about the doc in a minute, but let's start with KD. I mean, this obviously is the story of the summer. Now the topic comes up with Boston and the possibility they could put Jaylen Brown and a whole bunch of draft picks into a trade. Just right off the top, how does that sound?
Well, it sounds great, and it's shocking to me that we're not highlighting 29 other teams trying to get the talent of Kevin Durant. When you have a home run hitter and an all-time great talent like Kevin Durant on the market or possibly available, you have to pick up the phone and look at your options. He makes any team, including his own, instant championship caliber team.
The Eastern Conference is so loaded at the top. But just imagine a situation where you've got Jason Tatum and Kevin Durant on that team with all the pieces they had this year, save for Jaylen Brown. They've added Malcolm Brogdon. They've added Danilo Gallinari. Would that clearly make the Celtics the team to beat in the East?
It would put them into discussion with anybody else. There are some outstanding teams in the East, so I'm not going to be disrespectful. But it automatically puts them as one of the favorites and one of the favorites in the East and one of the favorites to win it all. But he makes them, and if I'm Jaylen Brown,
yeah,
I got to be, it's a compliment. I don't look at it as an insult. This is Kevin Durant we're talking about, so I'm not going to look and say, you're turning your back on me. If you have an opportunity, that's any team, to get a Kevin Durant, you have to be on the phone.
So the first thing you said was, including his own. I haven't had a chance to talk to you since all this began, but it's now almost 4 weeks that Kevin Durant asked for a trade, and according to Woj's story last night, has not budged off of that. What do you make of the fact that he wants out of there and that everything, it appears, is going to blow up this quickly in Brooklyn?
Well, something's not right. And if I'm the Nets, I'd be just like one of those other 29 teams. You win in this league with talent. I can't afford to lose Kevin Durant. And anything I get back will not be equal to the talent of Kevin Durant. So I try to have a discussion with him. What are the concerns? How can we make this right? And then try to put him in a situation where we make it convenient and not sell our souls, but he wants to win. There's no question. This is not about a selfish Kevin Durant. He's a championship player and an all-time great talent. I would try to get on the phone with him and make things right. What don't you like about this situation? How can we rectify it?
Now, what we don't really seem to know is exactly how he feels about Kyrie Irving at this point. Everything that we know for certain is that they are close friends. They remain that way. And that this desire to be traded doesn't necessarily rest on Kyrie. But how about that part of it? If you're the Nets, I've had some people say to me they can't bring the whole thing back.
After the way things went last year, they can't bring back KD and Kyrie and Ben Simmons and try and make a go of it there. Could you see that working?
Well, we don't know about Kevin Durant and Kyrie's relationship, but the Nets know about it. The powers that be in Brooklyn know about it. So I see it working if everything is fine. And it seems like they're respectful. They appreciate each other's talent. And in the same way that Kevin Durant is a home run all-time great talent, you can't disrespect Kyrie Irving. Now, he may have his issues, but there's no question about his gift and his ability to play the game of basketball. So I would try to make it right and then fix whatever the situation is, because it's obviously something. They've fallen short as a championship-caliber team.
So I keep going back to this, and let's just live in a world where they do figure out a way to do what you've just said, which everyone keeps telling me they can't. But if they could, if you had a team that had Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons, and let's see if his head's in the right place and his back is okay, then, you know, we've forgotten, I think, to some degree, how good a player he can be with the pieces they have. Is that a team that you would put in the mix to win the championship?
Absolutely. There's no question about that. You see, I didn't even stall. Because you're talking about three guys that as superior talent. You talked about Ben Simmons. When he's healthy, he's an impact player, and he's an elite player on both sides of the floor. Now, he's not an elite scorer, but he's an elite facilitator. He's an elite defender, has size, rebound. He does everything that puts you in a position to win. And those other two guys, along with getting back Joe Harris, a guy that's an outstanding role player, a knockdown shooter, that team is loaded. And if they come back healthy and whole, they have a real chance.
I agree completely. Everyone keeps telling me that I'm nuts, so I guess you and I are nuts together. Okay. But
that's good company.
I agree. I appreciate your company. That we never got a chance to see what they could be together. Things couldn't go more wrong than they went last year. Let's see if anything were to go right. Meanwhile, in L.A., I know that the Lakers, a lot of people keep wondering, will they wind up getting Kyrie Irving? We know that they've got LeBron, they've got Anthony Davis, they've got Russell Westbrook. Those guys are all under contract for one more year. They played just 21 games together last season. When they were on the floor together, the Lakers were outscored by 34 points. We were in L.A. together for that game that LeBron scored, had that crazy night against Golden State. It was pretty much the highlight of their season. If they bring that group back together again, Darvin Ham has sort of laid out a plan for Russell Westbrook. He wants him to be a defender. He wants him to set screens, shoot corner threes. Can you see that trio working in a big way together in L.A.?
They can work. They have to be healthy. They have to be whole. And you have to have Anthony Davis play much more than he's played as far as health issues. And that's not his fault, but he's got to stay healthy. And Russell Westbrook is getting, you know, people disrespecting his talent and how great he is as a basketball player. I think outstanding hire in Darvin Ham, former teammate of mine, obviously saying and doing the right things. They needed a culture change. After buying on the defensive end, they have to be healthy, and the role players have to play, and then the stars and LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook, they've got to be better.
The one thing that remains out there, I guess, as a possibility, I don't even know how to define the possibility anymore, is that they wind up getting Kyrie Irving. Kyrie seems to be sending signals that that's where he would like to be. So just envisioning a situation where you have LeBron and Kyrie together again with Anthony Davis, is that a championship nucleus? Is that a championship big three?
If they buy in defensively and if the role players, which they've elevated the talent as far as coming off that bench, you get a young Lonnie Walker from the San Antonio Spurs. So they've got better talent. But at the end of the day, they have to do it on the defensive end. You can't think I'm just going to outscore people. They have to hold each other accountable. And they have to defend on the other end.
All right. Look, it's a fascinating summer here in the NBA, as they always are, and we'll see how some of these moves play out. In the meantime, I am so excited to talk about this documentary. It's a Showtime documentary. It is called NYC Point Gods. And those of us who are from New York, as I am, and grew up loving basketball, as I did, we know that there is just a history. There's a lineage, and you were very much a piece of it. Tell me and everyone else a little bit about what we'll see in the doc.
Well, if you're a basketball fan, it's the history of basketball. And when you're talking about basketball playing, it starts at the point guard position. And it didn't start with Mark Jackson, Kenny Smith, Pearl Washington, or any of us. It started with the OGs before. So you want to talk about Lenny Wilkins and Bob Cousy. You want to talk about Tiny Archibald, the only guy that ever led the league in scoring and assists. The swag, the confidence, the grit, the grind that has impacted and has taken over not just New York City, but you see that same style, that same fashion across the board, whether you come from Tupelo, Mississippi, or you come from Los Angeles, California.
So I get this fight. You know, Jalen is always in his guys, and all the Chicago guys are the best are the best basketball players from New York. Is New York still the provider, the creator of the best players in the world?
So you messed up. You said still. Now, when you say still, there can be an argument. But historically, absolutely. Put Jalen to – I played with Jalen. I know him and I love him.
Yeah.
Put him on a lie detector test. He'll tell the truth. But New York City has historically the greatest basketball players that's ever played the game.
Showtime, the documentary again. NYC Point Gods, I'm looking forward to it. Mark, so good to see you. Enjoy awesome. This summer. Wonderful to have you. Last time I saw him, he was eating the heaviest lunch I've ever seen in my entire life in Boston.
You with your security by yourself.
I'm glad that you have recovered. In the meantime, back to football. We will go next. Even two-time reigning MVPs have a breaking point, don't they? The hits keep on coming for Aaron's offseason. When will it be too much? We'll find out in just a moment. And we will pose this one. Here we go, Graziano. Hembo's ready for you today. Aaron Rodgers has had good luck with second-round receivers over the years. The question is, which wide receiver drafted in the second round caught the most touchdown passes in the NFL? That's the question. The answer's next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back, and Graziano is here, and everyone has agreed this is a very hard, but I think fair question. What wide receiver drafted in the second round caught the most touchdown passes in NFL history?
So, like, people need to know what goes on, like, in the commercial. Like, I'm going through guys I know are up near the top of the list. Like, Terrell Owens was a third-round pick. I know Larry Fitzgerald was in the first round. And I said Isaac Bruce, and somebody in the studio said, yeah, he was a second-round pick. So that's going to be my guess, Isaac Bruce.
That's right.
Oh, yes! But see, now, is that okay? Because there was an assist, right? Like, like I didn't know. Like,
is that okay? That is incredible.
I don't want to give away the identity of the individual who told me this.
Isaac Bruce is first. Lance Allworth is second.
Lance Allworth, okay.
Anquan Boldin, Fred Biletnikoff, then Devontae Adams, who will eventually break this record, we would assume.
Well, you know, Derek Carr, we don't know.
And then Jordy Nelson. Hembo is accusing Brandon of having been the one.
It was
and
not listen, Brandon.
What happens in the studio stays in the studio. He got it right, and we're all excited for it. Scoreboard. Graziano is up by the very football score of 17-13. I love it. There we go. Graziano gets it right. That's an incredible pull. All right. Next. Overreaction Monday. It is not an overreaction to say you are better at that game than even Aaron Rodgers is at quarterback. Let's talk about this. If someone were to say Lamar Jackson is going to make $50 million a year in his next contract, would that be an overreaction?
No way. That's not an overreaction. He should be asking for that based on what everybody else is making, right? I mean, you know, like guys are getting 46 that never won an MVP trophy. He's got an MVP trophy. I think he needs to wait till all the deals are in and then say, I need more than that. I think 50 is a perfectly reasonable number for Lamar Jackson to ask.
That sound you hear is the former general manager Mike Tannenbaum just fell on the ground
it
in our
not,
studio.
Does not agree.
At the very notion of it. Next, if I were to say the 49ers should keep Jimmy G on their roster, would that be an overreaction?
I think it is, because I think it would create an awkward situation. They want to move on to Trey Lance. The future is now. The 49ers have decided, for better or for worse. And keeping Jimmy G kind of puts Trey Lance in a tough position, right? If he struggles early, people say, well, put Jimmy in. I think they have to cut the cord on this.
All right, Mike T just fell down again.
Yeah, he disagrees with that. He doesn't agree with anything I'm saying.
One more. If someone said David Bakhtiari is starting this preseason or this training camp on the PUP, on the physically unable to perform list, if someone were to say they should be concerned about that, is that an overreaction?
It's not an overreaction, and because you have to wonder at this point. I mean, it's been 19 months since the injury. He's played in one game. They thought he'd be back at some point last year, and he didn't come back till the final game of the season. Then he couldn't answer the bell in the playoffs. So it's a concern because you don't know if you'll have him back. And frankly, I mean, look, can Aaron Rodgers overcome a lot? Yes, but they're a better team with Bakhtiari than they are without him, so it's a concern until you see him out there healthy.
Well, so let me bring the rest of my squad in here today, and actually, Tim Hasselbeck, I will start with you, because you were not with us in our first hour when we talked about this, but I have looked at this Packers team and all that they have lost, in particular in Devontae Adams, and I keep having everyone say to me, oh, it's Aaron Rodgers, he'll be fine. Oh, it's Aaron Rodgers, he'll figure it out. And I wake up this morning, Bakhtiari, PUP, don't worry, it's Aaron Rodgers, he'll figure it out. Isn't there a point at which even Aaron Rodgers just can't keep overcoming all of these concerns, Tim?
Greeny, there is a point, but I just don't think we're there because I think Aaron is that good. And then just plain and simple, that's how I feel about it. Look, Aaron Rodgers, all time, fifth all time in the NFL in terms of throwing touchdown passes, 128th in terms of interceptions. The guy throws touchdowns and doesn't turn the football over. He makes people around him significantly better. And I think that with what they're also trying to do there offensively, they've got two really good backs. I think they're going to have more balance than they've probably had in the past in terms of, you know, run to pass ratio. And so I do think that Aaron, his ability to make people better, along with scheme, along with having played without Bakhtiari in the past, I actually think Green Bay is going to be just fine.
Sacho?
Oh, it's Aaron Rodgers. He'll figure it out. I couldn't agree more with Tim Hasselbeck. I mean, even statistically speaking, without David Bakhtiari, Aaron Rodgers still has a winning record. He's 19-6. Without his star receiver, at least in the Matt LaFleur era, he's 7-0, 19 touchdowns, one interception. Aaron Rodgers is the MVP for this exact reason. It doesn't matter who is out there or who is not out there. He gets the job done. And then add that to Matt LaFleur's play calling, right? You're going to rely early on maybe on the running backs in the passing game, on A.J. Dillon running the ball, Aaron Jones. They find a way to figure it out because Aaron Rodgers is just that good.
Tannenbaum.
It's not only what these guys said, but who they're playing. You have two rookie head coaches in Matt Eberflus, Kevin O'Connell. Dan Campbell's only going a second year, so they could take a step back and still win the division going away.
I get that. That part of it I agree with. But Aaron Rodgers, in the same way that I said Super Bowl or bust for the Buccaneers, I'll say the same thing about Green Bay. Yeah. You don't bring Aaron Rodgers back. You don't pay him $50 million a year. You aren't Aaron Rodgers if the Super Bowl isn't the only successful outcome. And that, Dan, is what I'm talking about.
I just keep thinking about the Monty Python and the Holy Grail with the,
right.
You know, the arms off and the other arms off and the leg. It's merely a flesh wound.
Exactly.
You know, that's what I feel like we're saying with Aaron Rodgers. Like, he can take anything. At some point, it's going to be too much. But they did win 13 games last year without Bakhtiari, and, you know, yes, I'm with you. I said this earlier, like, they have to be playoff ready. So maybe they ease him in, and Bakhtiari's healthy at the end of the season this time. That's a possibility.
And it's not just him. And maybe the rookie, everyone's all excited about, Christian Watson. Maybe by November and December, they have him up to speed. And maybe the fact that they dropped some games in September and October doesn't matter as much because of the division. I agree with all of that. But I think that the thesis of my question remains, even Aaron Rodgers is going to need some help along the way. All right, we will take a break here as we continue on. A reminder that the first Subway Series of the season will be our Wednesday night baseball matchup. The Yankees have the best record in baseball. The Mets lead their division. Huge series here in New York. Coverage of the second game of the two-game set will begin 7 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and on the ESPN app. A reminder, by the way, a first take coming up here in just a few minutes. Now the Celtics throw their hat in the KD sweepstakes. What should KD do?
Go back to Steph Curry and his former team, or join up with a rising superstar in Jason Tatum? The debate begins in 9 minutes here on ESPN. Tomorrow afternoon, we have the first women's Euro semifinal. Sweden taking on the host team, England. Then Wednesday, France and Germany in the second semifinal. Coverage of both begins 2:30 Eastern with a 3 Eastern kickoff. That's on ESPN2 and ESPN+. All right, as we wrap it for today, Zach Wilson, young quarterback, New York Jets, entering his second season. The Jets are coming off having had a very impressive offseason. You see that Wilson's numbers were up and down, much more down than up in his rookie year. But there is some hope for some optimism, at least amongst many Jet fans, and to some degree myself included. And so Tim Hasselbeck wasn't with us at the beginning. I want to reenact a moment that took place on this show. Hey, Tannenbaum, is there any reason for me to be hopeful?
No.
Thank you. So that really aggravated the heck out of me, Hasselbeck, and I'm looking to someone for some help here. They had a great draft. They have Zach's got another year of experience. Robert Saleh's got another year of experience. I believe there are a lot of Jet fans who believe this team is heading in the right direction. Are you giving me hope?
Listen, I understand the concern when all of a sudden Tannenbaum's decisive. Like, when does that ever happen? So, look, I get it. That was alarming. What? It was shocking. Okay? Like, he usually wants to sit on the fence. Look, here's what I would say. I actually think, Greeny, they're going to be better. I really do. I like their roster. I actually think that Zach Wilson, while he may not make the Josh Allen type leap, I do think we're going to see an improved version of Zach Wilson. I think the bigger question I probably have is that, all right, you could be significantly better and you might win 6 games. The schedule's hard, the division's good. So I just look at it, you know, from that perspective of, listen, these are probably baby steps, not big giant leaps forward.
I'll actually take that, if only because it's by far the best thing I've gotten so far. Sacho?
Yeah, I'm with that. I think they'll be better based off of the free agent additions and also the unbelievable draft that the Jets did have this year. But I'm looking at their schedule and I have concerns. I look at the AFC North, who they played the first 4 games. I look at teams like the Packers, the Patriots, the Bills, who are in your division. That's my concern. And so, yes, last year was a struggle. This year you are better, but it's not going to show on the field until you get way, way better and you start being the team that people are afraid to play.
Roz?
In the last 5 years, I've been flying out of LaGuardia Airport, and it's a nightmare, right? Like, it's been under construction,
yeah.
And every time you go, there's something new that's terrible, and you're like, this will never, ever be finished. And then, last year, I flew into Terminal B, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now it starts. That'll eventually happen with the Jets.
In my lifetime?
I don't know when.
Okay.
I mean, you know, you're healthy, you know, yeah. Like you're like, yeah, a long time to live yet.
Debatable,
so,
but
so
okay.
It's possible. But so, look, I mean, the last year the quarterback was young and inexperienced. That the head coach was a first time head coach. The offensive coordinator was the first. They all have to grow together. And I think this year is going to be really helpful to see how much of that they're able to do.
Go ahead, Tannenbaum.
Well, I'm surprised that Tim didn't agree with me because Tim knows all about being an inaccurate quarterback, so
I'm surprised
he would disagree with me.
Oh,
but,
no.
But when you think about accuracy, it's the number one job description of a quarterback. He was last. He was 32 of 32 quarterbacks. Josh Allen had a historic improvement, to his credit, one of the best players in our game. If Zach Wilson gets to the middle of the road, they will be better. They had a great offseason. But quarterback accuracy is job one.
Yeah, look, realistically speaking, Hasselbeck, I'll give you the final word here. Yes. I think incremental improvement is a reasonable expectation. Monumental, you know, making the playoffs, that kind of thing might be a bridge too far. Go ahead, Tim, final word.
Listen, I think it is a bridge too far. That's why everyone kind of looks and uses Josh Allen as this big outlier. But can quarterback accuracy improve? Yeah, we've seen people do that. I will say I actually love Graz's example of LaGuardia. The only difference is I think they told everybody that that was going to be ready in like 5 years, and it took like 25 years for them to finish it.
With the Jets, I've been waiting 50, so, I mean, it's all well and good. All right, good fun to be had. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for getting up with us. We'll see you back and better than ever tomorrow. But the fun and the debate continue with First Take now.